Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's Edible Honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of Edible Honesty, the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant. Ooh.
Hey, hey, my, hot rockin' cucumber pie. Let's get down and let's talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew. I'm your host, and I am ready to rock. So let's cut right into it, because today we will be readjusting almost everything you thought you knew about food. Now, Neo, there are two types of people in the world. Those with a gun and those who dig. Now dig, Tuco the Ugly. And to be quite clear, we are the diggers, because the edible powers that be have the guns and they have all the edible power. They dictate what we believe to be edible fiction and what we believe to be edible fact. But to the edible powers that be, edible facts simply get in the way. So instead, they have been playing a consumer confidence game with the edible public, and since the 1950s, in which we are the edible victims and we are tricked into spending our money thinking we can always identify the money card, just like Three Card Monty, but there's never any pumpkin in the can, so we never win. We always lose, because they are edible politicians. And money, honey, that's the only language they speak. And dirty money, that's their native tongue. And Neo, that is what the edible matrix is. It's really just dirty, edible politics. And dirty edible politics, by my definition, is the art of looking for an edible opportunity, finding it, exploiting it, and lying to the edible public to capitalize and monetize, rinse and repeat. And so we are crystal clear here. Our entire edible history has been revisionistically rewritten and perverted so often that, according to the edible powers that be, Paul Revere was an anti-Semite who was heard yelling, "The Yiddish are coming. The Yiddish are coming." And all through the night. But that's not the case, because Paul Revere really said, "The British are coming. The British are coming." Plus, he wasn't anti-Semitic. However, the real edible truth is harder to understand than Ozzy Osbourne saying anything to anyone. And as a consequence, the average edible IQ and the life expectancy of an average human being recently passed each other and in the wrong direction. And that's definitely not good, Little Red Riding Hood. Now, for clarity, the average age a human being lives to is 75. Ah, ha, 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 staying alive until about 75. Now, on the other hand, an IQ score of 75 indicates a significant limitation in intellectual functioning. And that's where we are today. We are trapped deep within the edible matrix, barely functioning with limited edible intellect and an edible IQ score of 75 at best. Surely you can't be serious. I'm serious, and stop calling me Shirley. Mork calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Mork calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Come in, your edible high IQ-ness. And what kills me is that the edible powers that be dispense edible lies like Pez candy which seems sweet and harmless, but it definitely is not. It is toxic and poisonous, and Britney Spears said it best. You're toxic. I'm slipping under with a taste of a poison paradise. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, this story ends. You wake up in your bed and you believe whatever you want to believe. But if you take the red pill, you stay in edible honesty wonderland, and we forage for more berries until we find some. So ask yourself, ever have that feeling where you're not sure if you're awake or still dreaming, hello, Neo? If you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? Hello, Neo? Can you hear me? Blink twice if you can. Okay, great. Two blinks? Then listen very carefully. Don't eat the yellow snow. And stay away from the thin ice of the edible matrix, because if you should go skating on the thin ice, don't be surprised when an edible crack in the ice appears under your feet. You'll slip out of your edible mind. So be very careful in whatever you do. Oh, good. I see you couldn't resist the yellow snow, but now I'm going to ask that you put down your yellow snow cone, because this is the part where we run. So house upon the hill, moon is lying still. Shadows of the trees witnessing the wild breeze. Come on, Neo, run with me. Let's run. Ooh. Neo, stop. Stop. Stop running. And catch your breath. Because we made it. We're here. Can you see the beautiful field of berries? Now, if you can't, that's okay. Most people cannot. However, it's really quite difficult to miss these berries, because these berries grow to be about 4 feet long, so they should be rather easy to spy. And for proper perspective, the average size of a female ball python is about 4 feet long. So holy female ball python size berries, Batman. And Neo, just so you know, it makes perfect sense that you cannot see this extra long, beautiful berry, because this extra long, beautiful berry has been living under permanent edible witness protection and for about 4,000 years. And who knows what high crime or crazy cosmic event this berry witnessed almost 4,000 years ago in ancient Mesopotamia. Now, there are edible rumors swirling about that this extra long, beautiful berry actually witnessed the birth of Sargon of Akkad, who was believed to have been born in secret. Well, apparently not, to a priestess mother who set him adrift on a river just like Moses. And ever since that fateful day, this berry has been living under permanent edible witness protection and forced to live as a vegetable ever since. Oy, the agony. Oh, the shame to make my privates public for a game. Well, I suppose I ought to eat something. Perhaps a 4-foot-long berry. But the great question is, and I'm paraphrasing, where can a girl find a berry at this hour? Alice in Wonderland. Well, Alice, a berry is a fleshy fruit that has multiple seeds on the inside. And berries, by definition, are any fleshy fruits that are produced by a single fertilized ovary of a flower, which is entirely unvegetable-like. So then what in the world is this mysterious berry that has been living as a vegetable and can easily grow to be about 4 foot long. Well, it grows from flowers, and it contains seeds on the inside, so it's definitely not a vegetable. It's a fruit, and it's known around the world as dramatic pause. The cucumber. That's right. It's the cucumber. And to end the great debate before it even starts, the cucumber is not a vegetable because the cucumber is a superfruit. And it's a super berry at that. Now, there's a quote from a famous dinner party. And I'm paraphrasing. The cucumber is a very powerful sexual symbol. It represents the masculine phallic member. So, my dear, would you like to chop it up or pickle it? Sigmund Freud. And Confucius suggested, you're only as strong as the alcohol you drink, which suggests Confucius drank a lot more than he let on to. However, Confucius had a crazy love for the genus Cucumis, because Confucius was known to consume cucumbers whenever he could. So holy Confucius consuming cucumbers, Batman. And I know exactly what you're thinking, Eric Otter Stratton. Mine's bigger. And I'm paraphrasing. Sometimes a cucumber is just a cucumber, Sigmund Freud. Which means you all seem to be suffering from a mild form of hysteria. So be excellent onto each other and party on, dudes. Well, that and something. In this case, a cucumber can actually be just what it is. Just a super tasty berry and without all the obvious sexual innuendo. But all the obvious sexual innuendo and Sigmund Freud jokes aside, a cucumber is a miraculous superfruit. And a cucumber is a super berry at that. Cucumbers were just forcibly recast as vegetables a very long time ago, when they became just another edible witness protection berry in a long line of edible witness protection berries. But a cucumber is a fleshy fruit, which contains a multitude of seeds on the inside. And the fruit of the cucumber is derived from a single fertilized ovary of an individual flower, which makes the cucumber not just a fruit, but a berry just like Satan. Now, isn't that special? Jordan fades back. Swoosh! That's the game. Now, a cucumber is a widely cultivated creeping vine plant that bears fruit just like Satan. And cucumbers were first cultivated around bedrock during the end of the Stone Age, yabba dabba doo. And cucumbers are a biblical fruit, as only 8 fruits appear in the entire Bible. So, oh, hear me. The edible powers that be have given unto you these 15. Oy, oh boy. I dropped a tablet. 10 edible commandments for all to obey. Now, cucumbers make their first edible appearance in the Bible because the biblical Hebrews loved eating Egyptian cucumbers above all other foods. So pass me a cucumber, Uncle Harvey. Now, the biblical Hebrews loved cucumbers so much that while they were wandering the Sinai desert, finally free from 430 years of Egyptian slavery, the nearly starving Hebrews longed for the Egyptian cucumbers that they loved and oh so much that the Hebrews actually started looking back upon their 430 years of slavery in Egypt as the good old days, when every Hebrew had plenty of Egyptian cucumbers to eat and no one ever starved. And the edible proof and the edible prose is in the Bible, Book of Numbers, verse 11, chapter 5, where it states, and I'm paraphrasing, we remember, which we the Hebrews did eat in Egypt freely, those cucumbers. Oh boy, do we remember those tasty Egyptian cucumbers, but now our edible soul is dried away, which translated means, God, I'd kill for a cucumber. Now, the edible truth is that the Hebrews almost turned around mid-Sinai desert and voluntarily walked back to Egypt, slavery over freedom, cucumbers over sand. That is the immense biblical power of the cucumber. Surely, you can't be serious. I'm serious. And stop calling me Shirley. Mork calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Mork calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Come in your burning bushness. Ooh. Now, let's gain a little better historical perspective on the cucumber here first, shall we? Roughly 2,300 years before the Bible was ever written, there was an epic poem, and it was based on the historical King Gilgamesh, who ruled ancient Sumerian Uruk in the year 2700 BC. And the tale of Gilgamesh is the first story ever, and I mean ever. It is the oldest written story known to exist anywhere on this planet ever, period, exclamation smurf. And the tale of Gilgamesh is about a man, Gilgamesh, the world's first superhero just like Batman. So holy Batman, Batman. And the tale of Gilgamesh follows the mythological hero king and his pal as they undertake a series of dangerous quests and epic adventures until his pal dies. At which point, Gilgamesh starts a quest to achieve immortality, or at least eternal youth. So holy Marco Polo Batman. Now, what makes the tale of Gilgamesh so edibly relevant is while questing for immortality, he hears of a miraculous plant, a forbidden plant, a creeping, thorny, magical vine plant that produces a magical fruit, a berry. And this magical berry does one simple thing. It restores youth completely. And this forbidden, creeping, thorny, magical vine plant, this magical berry, was literally called how the old man once again becomes a young man. So the question becomes, what is this mysterious, forbidden, 5,000-year-old berry that magically restores youth? Well, it's none other than our edible amigo, the cucumber. And the cucumber was the very first fruit, let alone berry, to exist on Earth that was widely believed by all ancient cultures to contain magical, mythological properties, even godlike properties, if you will, like immortality. Now, here's a dose of reality. The natural part of the human aging process involves the rise of decaying cells in healthy tissue, therefore causing the tissue to lose its function and age. Well, recently, meaning 5,000 years after the tale of Gilgamesh, or let's phrase it another way, in August of the year 2020, scientists discovered the best way to combat the natural aging process of a human being is to maintain a diet high in cucumbers, because cucumbers contain a naturally occurring compound called fistine, which literally repairs worn out cells and significantly decreases inflammation, another major factor in the advance of old age and even the rise of cancer. As it turns out, 5,000 years after the tale of Gilgamesh, modern science declared maintaining a diet high in cucumbers are how the old man once again becomes a young man. Ooh. And Gilgamesh was obsessed with finding this magical cucumber and securing it all for himself. And he did. He found it and he took it, and Gilgamesh lived an extraordinarily long, 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 long life. However, his quest for total immortality falls short, because the magical cucumber is eventually stolen from him and by a snake. Sound biblically familiar? And trust me on this one. It was definitely a cucumber and not an apple. Not in the Garden of Eden. Cucumbers are a biblical fruit, and they are the Bible's forbidden fruit. The Bible never mentions apples anywhere at all. Apples simply do not appear in the Bible anywhere. Well, that plus apples simply did not exist in that part of the world, at least not at that point in history. So now, no longer in possession of the forbidden fruit, the magical cucumber, Gilgamesh dies. However, don't feel bad for him, because a man is only as old as the woman he feels, Groucho Marx. And Gilgamesh did live to the ripe old age of 126, which would make him the oldest human documented person to ever live on this planet. So holy 126-year-old Scotch, Batman, and right after the passing of Gilgamesh, almost instantly around the globe, an edible mythology about cucumbers, and later on pickles, has existed ever since. And that's the 5,000-year-old power of the cucumber. So that's it. That's a wrap on part one of the cucumber, the key to anti-aging. But make sure to tune in for the next episode. Part two, the cucumber, the key to anti-aging. My name is Andrew. I thank you so much for listening, and to all my fans out there in Canada, go Canadians. And a huge edible shout out to Matt Damon, who probably knows that the cucumber should be in his diet. And I've been getting all of your emails and your comments, and thank you, and do not stop, and continue to email me at info@ediblehonesty.com, and make sure to let me know what your favorite recipes are for cucumbers. And don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Podchaser, whatever you listen to. And no, I am not signed by any radio outlet yet. And CNN, Food Network, Cooking Channel, Martha Stewart, ABC News, and Comedy Central, and whoever else, I'm available. So get in contact with me, and let's work out a deal, and let's get Edible Honesty what it deserves, a syndicated platform. So get ready to tune in for the next episode for more Edible Honesty. Same edible time, same edible station.